making TV special.
Fellas, made with creamy butter. Yeah.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this end-of-the-year episode 199B from MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show Media Monarchy, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups since 2005 with the website and 2006 with the radio show. And the way I want to start off is to tell you that today I was unable to do my live show at the Portland Radio Authority because we were doing a little maintenance and actually changing ISPs, internet service providers, and hopefully it's all now squared away and we're going to have a much better stream and signal for folks. But unfortunately, that had to happen during my live shift today on December 31st, 2010, the year we didn't make contact. But I just want to take a few moments here to thank Mike and Saffron and some of the other folks who help run Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. That's been the original home of Media Monarchy, the radio show, since the very beginning, going back to the end of October 2006. So we're now 4+ years into the radio show. And again, we're now just mere days away from a landmark 200th episode coming up next week, January 7th. So again, unfortunately, wasn't able to do the live 200th episode today due to circumstances that were beyond my control. And of course, that's the key to life, is figuring out the things that aren't in your control. And of course, Mercury is in retrograde, so I shouldn't be surprised about anything falling through at the last moment. But again, just want to give a huge thanks to Portland Radio Authority and all the folks that help run that and keep spreading this information. Also, thanks to my man Jeff Simmons, who broke away and started the amazing Radio23.org. He was the guy who first took me in to the Portland Radio Authority, showed me the booth, showed me how everything kind of ran, and I was off to the races. So again, huge thanks to those folks. So we didn't have a live show today, and we did not have a live show last week. Of course, last week being Christmas Eve, and everybody deserves a little time off, even hardworking folks in the alternative, independent, non-commercial media. However, there were things in the meantime that hopefully would keep you well satisfied, and the first would be my latest mixtape. I think it's the best one I've made. It's mixtape number 7, Winter Wonderland and the Best of 2010, featuring music from Janelle Monáe, Menomina, Grinderman, The Social Network soundtrack, the Tron soundtrack, we've got The Books, Girl Talk, Vampire Weekend, Chick Chick Chick, The New Pornographers, Tricky, The Drums, Surfer Blood, Gorillaz, tons and tons of stuff. It's all sequenced really well. I think it really flows. Like I said, I think it's probably the best mixtape I've put together, and it's a lot of my favorite music of 2010. Again, for folks, I've got a college radio, non-commercial, indie radio background, and that's essentially what I've done with Media Monarchy, is figured out how to take those kind of tricks of the trade of making interesting, compelling, fun, loose, thrilling, provocative alternative media in a college radio setting, but have transferred that over to the world of alternative media. Again, just briefly, my quick story was, as the music director at a college radio station, I was the music guy, but meanwhile, 2001, 2, and 3, I started to become interested in the official and unofficial stories of 9/11 and all the other things that that will lead you to. So as I was the music director, I was becoming interested in alternative media. So when I moved to Portland, Oregon in 2005 and really got the site going and then got the show going in the next year, I was able to kind of flip the two and put media, pop culture, news and politics on the front burner. All I want to say is check out the latest mixtape. Again, if you subscribe to the feeds, you'll get everything. feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy. You'll get the audio and these videos and the PDFs and all the other things that come out of the alternative media kingdom. One of the other things we had last week in lieu of a live show was the publication of what I think was an amazing interview with Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice Radio. RedIceCreations.com had me on to discuss WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and the Pirate Party, and we discuss all the bizarre intelligence connections going back to Julian's upbringing and his involvement in a strange cult that perhaps had forced LSD tests and lots of other bizarre things and perhaps intelligence connections. jumping to the present day, even his ensnarement on these rape charges connect to someone named Ann Arden working with possible anti-Castro Cubans, ensnaring Julian Assange, and just, we lay out a lot of the things, and I guarantee this interview has things you're not going to hear anywhere else. That first episode, I refed out through the feed, so again, if you're a subscriber, you've already gotten it, you've already heard it, and a huge thanks and hello to anybody and all the folks that we did pick up from being affiliated with such an amazing site and show like RedIceCreations.com. So that first hour is available for everyone, but something Red Ice does, and what I think is a great idea and key to their sort of business model and the way they do things, first hour's for free, the second one's going to cost you. If you become a subscriber to Red Ice Creations, you get access to their archives, where the second hour of their shows continues the discussion or goes on to discuss all kinds of things that you don't get in the first hour. So in this second hour, we discuss our own Portland tree bomber here. Sweden had their own terror event. Henrik discusses that as well. And we get into the TSA and the police state measures here in the U.S. And we even briefly touch on the bizarre tale of the Quaids and the Star Whackers. Again, trying to put more media in the monarchy. So that second hour is not available unless you are a Red Ice subscriber, and I'm not going to break that deal. However, I did give a copy to ZeroPointRadio.com. So if you tune in to ZeroPointRadio.com, again, just one of the many fine affiliates that carry and rebroadcast MediaMonarchy.com, that's the one other place you'll be able to listen to the exclusive subscriber second hour of my interview with Red Ice Creations. So I suppose before we move on, I'll just take this moment to, as long as we're discussing the alternative media outlets, and again, Media Monarchy originates generally from the Portland Radio Authority, although we're here in the home studios of Media Monarchy. We also want to mention ZeroPointRadio.com, as we just did. Huge thanks to them. They've helped take Media Monarchy higher and higher over this last year and plus. So huge thanks to them. And of course, the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. They were the second network to pick up Media Monarchy. I think going back all the way to episode 20, back in, again, probably early 2007. But we also want to thank FreeRadioOlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com, KBOO.info, Radio23.org, 89.9 FM, Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas, Ground Zero Radio out of Canton, Georgia on StickAM.com/Ground Zero Radio, the folks that replay the audio of New World Next Week, and all the folks out there who just help spread this information. Again, you don't have to ask. It's all fair use. It's all public domain. I don't lay claim really to any of this stuff. I just use it and collect it and collate it and cross-reference it and hopefully give it to you in a way that makes sense. So speaking of the New World Next Week, we had a little bit of a break and we'll also be off for next week. NewWorldNextWeek.com, the weekly video series between myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, where we go over three stories. This most recent episode, we do our best to do a brief rundown of the year that was 2010. First, the year the internet went to war, which we're going to get into on CyberspaceWar.com. And the second story about more banks failed in 2010 than any year since 1992, which traces back, of course, to the savings and loan crisis, which traces back, of course, to BCCI, which traces back, of course, to Iran-Contra and drugs and the military and the old boys, as so many things do. We also have the latest episodes from my man James Corbett of Corbett Report, Social Engineering and You, as well as the 2009 video archive, which you can listen to just the audio, but you can also, and we implore you to do so, purchase a DVD from CorbettReport.com. And again, your support helps keep all these alternative media outlets going, such as our fine friends at peacerevolution.org. Their latest episode 16, The Seven Arts of Freedom, features an interesting lecture from the mysterious man known as Manly P. Hall, and it's just another great piece of work from Richard Andrew Grove and the tragedyandhope.com crew. And in addition to some of the amazing things that you will hear within that episode is something we'll now mention to you here as well, as my man Richard announced it. coming very soon next year. A joint venture between Media Monarchy and TragedyandHope.com is NavigatingNetflix.com. The website is now live. You can hop on there and check it out. And it's going to be a show coming very soon featuring myself as sort of host and moderator and guests coming from the TragedyandHope.com community in the group that we have there set up by Lisa Arbacheski called Navigating Netflix, where we figure out better ways to use the amazing resources that are on Netflix but just aren't marketed or noted or labeled as such that you can really find things decently. Of course, you can find all the other junky stuff they're just going to put up in your face, but they have amazing documentaries and films and shows, and the selection only grows and grows. So again, I'm a longtime film buff, and something like this is going to be exciting. I'm needless to say, I'm really, really stoked about it. So again, coming soon, NavigatingNetflix.com. And again, huge thanks to all the folks at TragedyandHope.com. Let's briefly mention also the latest work from a man, Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. He does a live show every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time on KUFO 101.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon, hitting massive Portland metro area and beyond. His most recent episodes, Dark Christmas, and also 2011 Childermass, which featured someone we had on episode 199 of MediaMonarchy.com. That would be TracyTwyman.com, discussing the fact that so many of these things seem to be like a Mobius strip, like we've done it all before and we're seeing all this again. And the same way it felt going into 2010 is the same way it feels going into 2011. It feels as though it's Groundhog Day. And that Clyde's take is that we've essentially almost been stuck in some type of loop since the catalyzing catastrophic events of September 11th, which, of course, 2011 will bring us the 10th anniversary. I'll take a breath, my friends, and as we bring a close to this first segment on this special audio-video edition of B-Side Episode 199 from MediaMonarchy.com, just a huge thanks to all the folks out there who made this such an amazing year. This year, Media Monarchy grew a lot bigger than I ever thought it would, and again, it's essentially a one-man band, so it can only grow as much as I'm able to lift the weights and make it move. But thanks to, as we'll see, my man Alan posting on cyberspacewar.com, and of course, thanks to all the amazing friends on facebook.com/MediaMonarchy, all the people now on Twitter that were using twitter.com/MediaMonarchy a whole heck of a lot more. Just all those amazing ways and all the amazing alternative media outlets and sources and folks that are turning on to this information. And again, we're going to use these tools and these bells and these whistles as long as we can and while we can to the best of our abilities and to the utmost that we can do it. Your support helps keep alternative media going. The donation button is on the top of MediaMonarchy.com. Thanks to all the folks throughout this year who have donated, some small, some generously large, that, again, can help us pay for the domain names and pay for our DJ dues and get some Skype credit and all the other things that pop up. I had to get a new mixer and just those kind of things I wouldn't be able to really do if I didn't have the support of the audience out there. So again, my friends, I will implore you, if you find this valuable, if you find independent, non-commercial, non-corporate, commercial-free media valuable to your life, if you find it helps you learn about things, and again, hopefully the way James Corbett and I work well together is weekly, we break down the news for you and give it to you in a way, like my man Richard Grove says in the latest Peace Revolution episode, cross-referenced with the text and the subtext and the context to help it all make sense for you. And again, we're all still in the cave. The allegory of the cave, it takes you coming back into the cave to tell us what's going on. And again, as we'll hear at the end of the episode, I may have been born yesterday, but I stayed up all night. We're all trying to learn and grow. And again, no one can do it on their own. No one has a monopoly on any of this kind of information. No one has it all put together. So as we bring an end to this first segment of this special audio video version of episode 199B from MediaMonarchy.com, again, I'll just give a huge thanks to all the folks out there who have helped make Media Monarchy go and go and grow and grow. And I appreciate it. All right, my friends, now that we've covered all the alternative media that I'm proud enough and lucky enough to be involved with, groundzeromedia.org, corbettreport.com, tragedyandhope.com, on and on and on, that's all I got to say. And again, just after an amazing year where the site has grown more than, you know, I would have anticipated, is thanks in no small part to that huge group of great alternative media folks. So now that we've covered all of those, let's now shift gears into a couple of my own home-run sister alternative media outlets, and let's blast through all the latest from foodworldorder.com. But first, let's look at cyberspacewar.com. And again, my man Alan in Omaha has been posting so much, there's no way I can go into any amount of amazing detail here on cyberspacewar.com, but let's just scroll down the page, follow the bouncing ball, my friends, and such in all of these cases, as I say time and time again, it's up to you to go do more research for yourself. So posted most recently to cyberspacewar.com is a quick article on Alternative 3, a strange little mockumentary film you may or may not have heard of before. Interestingly enough, they did show it when I was at the 10th Annual Conspiracy Conference. It was one of the little late-night gatherings. Basically, it was a British show broadcast, I think, just once or twice in June of 1977, and it is about Alternative 3 being evacuating the Earth. And as we see, this article goes into Site R and Alternative 1 and Alternative 2 and Edward Teller and the Svalbard Seed Vault and perhaps the Denver Airport. Alternative 1 would be to fix the atmosphere. Alternative 2 would be go down into the Earth. So that would be Site R, the Seed Vault, the old Greenbrier Bunker in the resort of White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, and even the New World Airport, sometimes known as the Denver Airport. So that's Alternative 3. We also have the mystery hexagon of Saturn getting into Voyager 1 in 1979, and there is a video you can check out called The Mystery Hexagon of Saturn. But let's break down my 1231 DEFCON High Chance Top Threats and the Cloud, where KPSPLocal2.com gets into the top cyber threats of 2001. And I think you probably know what they are without me even kind of going into all of it. Living with our heads in the clouds, or rather forcing everyone to live with their heads in the cloud, that the cloud being the place where the internet is going, when you won't need any software or anything on your computer, you won't have your hands on any of it, because people smarter and richer than you will be able to take care of it. The one and only Paul Allen, philanthropist of the Pacific Northwest. You can't go really anywhere without seeing his name on museums and buildings and things. He was also a Microsoft co-founder, but he is working on a massive patent mega suit, and you can get more on that from ArsTechnica.com, suing every Google, Apple, Microsoft, all of them. Speaking of lawsuits, Apple sued for app privacy violations. More on that from TheHill.com. Man quit his job because he hated spam so much, went to law school, and now sues spammers. That sounds like something you'd see in a cartoon where a mouse wants to... They go through school really quick and learn how to be an engineer so they can drive over Scratchy on the train tracks. But anyway, with his 15 minutes of fame ticking, Julian Assange has signed $1.5 million worth of book deals. More on that from Raw Story and ZeroHedge.com. Smith, that's Vaughn Smith, Julian Assange, George Soros, and claims that Assange is helping the neocons. And that's, again, something we get into in the Red Ice interview, whether or not they know what they're doing, whether they're patsies, whether they're cutouts, and what kind of intelligence operation this may be. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter because they're going to use it to crack down on the web. But interesting claim from Mr. Assange, where he notes there'd be a high chance he'd be killed like Jack Ruby. High chance I'd be killed Jack Ruby style in a U.S. prison. The theory being Jack Ruby was injected with a fast-acting cancer in prison. Our last note is a documentary series from Josh Reeves of The Global Reality. This is Reality of Illusion Part 4, getting into Julian Assange, the White Brotherhood, and the Nazis. All of that and more, again, we got into on the Red Ice interview. Zombie satellite is alive. Intelsat's Galaxy 15 communication satellite, after drifting in orbit since last April, has been revived. You can find more on that from intelsat.com. You can also check out the International Space Station's moon transit, and there it is. You can see it on the surface of the moon. We also have, as we mentioned, as we cover on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, episode 2010, The Year the Internet Went to War, and that's an article from Threat Level that gets into, of course, all the other big cyber stories. And one we didn't mention, of course, that's worth mentioning. And as I thought about the way to wrap up this year and thinking about some kind of year in review, and there's just no way you can do any kind of comprehensive look back. And that's generally a lot of the times the way I've done other work is don't spend too much time in the past. Just always keep moving forward and making new pieces of media. But the Pennsylvania webcam Spygate story, I think, is a large one that Threat Level doesn't mention here. But, of course, they go on to say that WikiLeaks is the biggest, without a doubt, development in the world of Threat Level. And I would say Threat Level online and Threat Level everywhere. Of course, Germany getting into the Cybercom Act as well. Cyber Warfare Center coming. More on that from the CBC. Why the moon appears gray from Earth, in a little film called Moon Rising, again, that you can watch on YouTube, 8-minute video, Why the Moon Appears Gray from Earth, getting into your solar cast, getting into CIA intel programming, perhaps veering off of the cyberspace war setup, but not veering far away is Kubrick's Odyssey, the Apollo 11 faked moon landing, ? And again, these are things I don't really dive into so much myself, and that's one of the reasons why it's great to have another person posting to cyberspacewar.com. They can get into things that I maybe wouldn't put up, but that I know nonetheless are fascinating and interesting, not only to myself, but a lot of other folks out there. Operation High Jump, getting into a little history mystery of the late 40s, of course, when a lot of things were going down. Incident at Kearney, Nebraska, going back to 57, that I'll just say, I'm glad that Alan is posting so much kind of historical background kind of information. We want to touch on net neutrality ruling by the FCC. Internet splits in two, and we'll get into that in just a few moments. We've got last week's 1223 DEF CON spectacles and seizures, the WikiLeaks spectacle, Apple bans lame WikiLeaks app, DHS seized domains based on bad evidence. Surprise, surprise. More on that from Slashdot. And lastly, New Zealand military releases UFO files. Again, more on that from Raw Story. An interesting article from Activist Post, asking whether or not the establishment is preparing to unveil aliens. And I even saw something, I believe it was on beforeitsnews.com, making the prediction that Obama will very soon, like in the next just few weeks, will make some sort of off-the-cuff remark about, oh yeah, and the communications we've gotten from unidentified flying objects and beings not of this earth. Next question. It'll be like that. The Mexico City UFO. We've got the Espionage Act and Naomi Wolf. We've got the UFO crash at Aztec, New Mexico in 1948. And we had our own amazing little event recently, my friends, on December 21st. It was the winter solstice, but it was also a lunar eclipse. And you can see amazing photos taken all around the world, thanks to, among others, universetoday.com. And it was, of course, too cloudy here in the dreary climes of the Pacific Northwest, which it's nice and sunny today, but it's cold, baby. Rendlesham revealed a UFO special from the BBC. More on the lunar eclipse. And again, the questions of what happens out in space, of course, affects us in our inner space. An article from Zen Gardner on, again, beforeitsnews.com, is the moon an artificial satellite? That would be something possibly that we would hear as some kind of, just as Wernher von Braun said in our Operation Paperclip Nazis, the way they'll disclose this kind of information. son of Stuxnet. Of course, the Stuxnet virus rages on. And speaking of the Nazis, did the Vril Society depart for Aldebaran in 1945? I know this sounds like Star Wars craziness, but at a Ground Zero lounge from my man Clyde Lewis of groundzeromedia.org got into the Vril and the Third Reich connections to some of the earliest UFO sightings and some of the strange things that swirl around that. More info, again, on our winter solstice and lunar eclipse. And our final note here on cyberspacewar.com, blended threats, thoughts on security in an uncivilized world. And I guess that would bring us back to one of the first things that we mentioned here, my friends, and that would be on the high chance top threats in the cloud, the top cyber threats of 2011. Oh, my goodness. So again, huge thanks to Alan in Omaha for posting and editing cyberspacewar.com. I have to do very little for it now because now it's pretty much kind of running itself. Ultimately, that's what I'd love to do with the media monarchy miniature empire, is to get folks helping out on things that I've set up that, again, I can just kind of act as an editor and you guys can use it as your sandbox and start to spread this information out to your connections and your communities. So in that vein, again, we want to mention MediaMonarchy@gmail.com if you're interested in getting involved, if you've got a little bit of web expertise. It doesn't take a whole hell of a lot. If you're familiar with Blogger, that's basically what I use. We just buy the .com domain name and tell it to point over to the Blogger site. And again, that's a way to keep things cheap. So quickly now, let's hop over to our other sister site that's turning, again, you know, more and more into one of the forgotten one, and that's foodworldorder.com for some of our latest here, and we'll run down quickly our New Year's Eve binge and purge, prices, crisis, and New Year's predictions. Global food prices in 2011 face perilous rise. That's from the New York Times. Inflation may become a bigger worry in 2010 for food companies. That's from LiveMint.com. Food stamps to be spread out in 2011. Michigan to change its food stamp distribution policy in 2011. That's from PublicBroadcasting.net and Detroit News. We've got the foodsafetynews.com naughty list for 2010, and from Natural News noting that the food safety bill that they wrangled and wiggled and moved and dodged and weaved and shoved down our throats, the U.S. government's basically going to spend $1 million per person to prevent foodborne illness deaths. Hundreds of herbal products to be outlawed across the European Union in early 2011, again, thanks to the international Codex Alimentarius implementations. WikiLeaks cables reveal U.S. conspire to retaliate against European nations if they resisted GMOs. UN, again the UN, concerned about food safety activists. Oh, homegrown terrorists. I guess that puts the groan in homegrown terrorist. Ha ha ha. Hershey's brings non-GMO confections to Europe, but not the U.S. Monsanto's Neotame molecule allowed in USDA-certified organic foods. And we've got the update on the massive Salmonella sprouts outbreak, 94 ill in 16 states, including the District of Criminals. There's also a hepatitis A outbreak in West Virginia. 11 people confirmed ill. More on that from foodpoisonjournal.com. And here in my current town of Portland, Oregon, from Food Safety, Portland food detectives crack E. coli mystery and finger Sally Jackson cheese. And that's not nearly as much fun as it may sound. We have the printed future of Christmas dinner, a bizarre story from the BBC, like something out of Back to the Future 2, where they put their little nanoparticles in the thing and it turns into a pizza. Our last note on this DEF CON is referring to the paranoia about terrorists poisoning the food supply over the holidays, and they were going to use dogs, and they're going to put bombs in Christmas presents, and we're going to hear about putting bombs in thermoses, but they were going to poison the food supply. However, they should just save their time because the international food conglomerations have pretty much already poisoned the food supply. More on that from naturalnews.com. Quickly, the rest on foodworldorder.com. City of Houston shuts down two radioactive water wells. A follow-up on our A&P bankruptcy story, 1,000-plus layoffs possible after their bankruptcy. More on that from Press of Atlantic City. We've got the 1223 binge and purge with the food safety bill. Again, that terror attack. Alciada, save the children, switching from soda tax to Coke and Pepsi. And finally, hexavalent chromium found in drinking water of 31 cities. That, my friends, is foodworldorder.com. And now, my friends, for the remainder of this special end of the year, New Year's Eve, episode 199B, let's get to the main site and let's look at MediaMonarchy.com. From the Washington Post, U.S. government storing info on Americans in vast surveillance database. 9 years after the terror attacks of 2001, the United States is assembling a vast domestic intelligence apparatus to collect information about Americans using the FBI, local police, state homeland security officers, and military criminal investigators. The system, by far the largest and most technologically sophisticated in the nation's history, collects, stores, analyzes information about thousands of U.S. citizens and residents, many of whom have not been accused of any wrongdoing. The government's goal is to have every state and local law enforcement agency in the country feed information to Washington to buttress the work of the FBI, which is in charge of terrorism investigations in the United States. Other democracies, you know, like Britain and Israel, to name two, are well acquainted with such domestic security measures. But for the United States, the sum of these new activities represents a new level of government scrutiny. This article is a building on their investigative work called Top Secret America, which we covered several weeks ago on MediaMonarchy.com. This is just another follow-up. And again, just another bit that just further solidifies the things we really already knew, and we can go ahead and make the WikiLeaks comparison there, that yes, important information is coming out and it's helping us to codify and help double up the information, but ultimately, is it really that groundbreaking of information? A lot of these things, such as many other ways, you've heard it from the alternative media for years, but they're treated as crazy fringe conspiracy theorists. However, somehow always turns out to be correct. Let's shift now to an amazing 45-minute documentary from Al Jazeera and their series Empire. The latest episode is called Hollywood and the War Machine. War is hell, but for Hollywood, it's been a godsend, providing the perfect dramatic setting against which courageous heroes win the hearts and minds of the movie-going public. The Pentagon recognizes the power of these celluloid dreams and encourages Hollywood to create heroic myths, to rewrite history to suit its own strategy, and as a recruiting tool to provide a steady flow of willing young patriots for its war. What does Hollywood get out of this deal with the devil? Access to billions of dollars worth of military kit, from helicopters to aircraft carriers, enabling filmmakers to make bigger and more spectacular battle scenes, which in turn generate more box office revenue. Providing they accept the Pentagon's advice and even toe the party line and show the U.S. military in a positive light. So, is this a case of art imitating life or sinister force using art to influence life and death and the public perception of both? We'll first make mention, of course, that it's interesting Al Jazeera uses the term sinister force, because we use the term sinister forces many, many times to discuss the things in the media monarchy kingdom that don't have an easy explanation. And, of course, Sinister Forces is the title of the three-book series from author-researcher Peter Lavenda, and that, to this day, still stands as my most number one downloaded episode, that interview from last October on MediaMonarchy.com with Peter Lavenda, the author of Sinister Forces, where we discussed at the time the bizarre intersection of Roman Polanski and Charles Manson and all of those things that swirl around. As long as we're mentioning that, I'll also mention, amazingly, my episode 199 from just 2 weeks ago on December 17th, where we had in-studio guest Tracy Twyman discussing the alchemy of money, that has now become my number two most downloaded episode. Number two with a bullet. And exactly why that is, I can't really say. I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons, such as the draw of Tracy Twyman, such as the end of the year, and a lot more folks are online. However, I also think it may have something to do with that was my most recent episode available when RedIceCreations.com published our interview. So hopefully it is a little bit of all of those things that brought people to the site. However, that's a sidebar, and we're discussing Hollywood and the war machine. And we add some of the links in this story that really do flesh out this story. You can go back to 2005 on USA Today to discuss Hollywood and the Pentagon. There's a Time Magazine article from 86, which begins by discussing the hot new movie at the time called Top Gun. And of course, folks like Tony Scott and Ridley Scott and Michael Bay and all the others are notorious for working hand in glove with the military media industrial complex. There's the book, which you can see the artwork for, The Hollywood War Machine, U.S. Militarism and Popular Culture, from Carl Boggs and Tom Pollard. We also have a link to a Mother Jones article, and we also have a link to another full-length documentary on Google Video, one of the few things that remains on video.google.com, Operation Hollywood. And we also have a Truth Dig article from 2008. Many of these noting, perhaps not so explicitly as Truth Dig does, but of course, Hollywood and the war machine have been quite cozy for quite some time. So again, I implore you to check out this episode of Empire from Al Jazeera, Hollywood and the War Machine. And again, my friends, these are the kind of things that we want to try and get more and more into discussing on MediaMonarchy.com, putting more media into the monarchy, if you will. However, speaking of media, and something we did briefly discuss on NewWorldNextWeek.com, and that is our own Federal Communications Commission. FCC got the votes to pass their net neutrality rules. And of course, they're confident that net neutrality is legal, but let's take this now a little bit dated story from the Wall Street Journal. The top communications regulator won support to pass contentious new rules for internet traffic, a move likely to face legal challenges and face uncertainty about internet regulation, rather create uncertainty about internet regulation. The FCC approved rules by Chairman Julius Genachowski, governing net neutrality, a concept aimed at preventing internet providers from interfering with web traffic. The rules are expected to bar providers from discriminating against legal internet traffic and require more transparency. They would also let broadband providers for the first time charge more to companies that want faster service for delivery of games, videos, and other services. Net neutrality has become a contentious issue as worries grow that large phone and cable companies are growing too powerful as internet gatekeepers. Startups and small businesses that rely on the internet to provide shopping information or other services to consumers are particularly concerned. Just as are farmers with the passage of the Food Safety Bill. So many of these things we see, regardless of which area of society you want to discuss. They, the elites, the bloodlines, the multi-generational serial killers, the gangsters and the banksters, they cause the problems. So it's one, it's problem, reaction, solution. They cause the problems to get the reaction out of us, to give us the solution that they wanted in the first place. But they cause the problems, but we suffer. So whether that's their shoddy security that lets people on terror watch lists get on planes and then have a drill turn live where underpants set on fire, or God knows what else. They cause the problems. Their factory farms cause the problems, but it's going to be ours to bear the weight of. You know, all surplus is privatized and all the debt is socialized. The interesting thing that tied in with the very moment that these new FCC rules were passing is at that very moment, and we do have the link to Reuters, Skype was hit by a worldwide outage. Recovery stalled as millions complained. And that was why we didn't have a new rule next week on the previous week. That was just the final nail in that coffin. And that's what we try and do. We try and go through the news and we try and put it in a little bit of order and we try and cross-reference things to where it makes sense for you. Again, I'm not the smartest in the world. I'll go ahead and quote our closing song that we're going to hear a little bit later. I may have been born yesterday, but I stayed up all night. I'm going and learning and trying to do it the best I can. So again, you have to do more research for yourself. Let's now shift to our last bit of EconoCrash updates, the audacity of austerity. And again, some of these go back going through the previous week, as we did not have a live show last week on Christmas Eve. The audacity of austerity, austerity being named the word of the year, and we noted that very early, and we even noted it last year when we first heard it from historians and economists and folks like Webster Tarpley and Gerald Celente and others, that austerity was going to be the phrase that pays or doesn't pay, depending on which way you look at it. Austerity meaning measures passed by the government due to their own cronyism and failings in printing money out of thin air and their connections to the central banks. But we have to tighten our belts. Furthermore, it was an unhappy birthday as far as we're concerned for the Federal Reserve. Going back to, good Lord, I don't know how many years it was, but we just did recently discuss the birthday of the Federal Reserve and how all the guys snuck back for their little anniversary because they all snuck away to Jekyll Island. PopSci.com getting into ultra-thin circuits in banknotes could give electronic security to paper currency. As WikiLeaks prepares for bank exposure, federal regulators cringe. That's from AllGov.com. Overstock CEO has added RICO allegations to his ongoing lawsuit versus Goldman and Merrill. More on that from Reuters and more on that from PeaceRevolution.org, where they interviewed several months back the CEO of Overstock, who knows exactly what's going on in the new financial world order. And we do have that link for you. That was Peace Revolution episode number 5, Overstocked, the interview with Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne. Dutch consider outlawing a call for a bank run. That's from the CNBC. Halliburton paid Nigeria $250 million to drop charges against Cheney. And I believe the latest I've heard is that someone in Nigeria pointed out that, yeah, that's illegal. Speaking of illegal, CIA secretly agreed to pay $5 million to shield Mitchell and Jessen. Those would be the, at least the front men, the architects for the waterboarding program. And our last note on this EconoCrash update posting the audacity of austerity. A 27-year-old Citigroup banker allegedly jumped to her death from Trump Palace in New York City. More on that from Cryptogon.com. And there you have it, my friends. EconoCrash updates, Hollywood and the war machine, the FCC rules, and of course, Top Secret America. Just some of the things we're tracking in the world of alternative news and open source intelligence. And again, I'll remind you, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, coming to you from the home studios of Media Monarchy in the Pacific Northwest here in Portland, Oregon, on the last day of the year, December 31st, 2010. I guess it wasn't the year we made contact, but 2011 will no doubt be interesting. And we're going to have to see where it goes from there. This is the B-side episode of 199 from MediaMonarchy.com. All right, my friends, for this final segment of our 199 B-side episode for New Year's Eve here on MediaMonarchy.com, we're going to blast through Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, the Christmas 2010 edition. And nothing says Christmas and hope and change like Obama prepping an executive order for indefinite detention. More on that from ZeroHedge.com. And as long as we're talking about fake political puppets, George W. Bush unharmed after security scare. The Telegraph reporting on a sports car that careened onto Bush's Dallas front lawn for reasons unknown. The plan to turn post office trucks into Stasi data collection nodes. That should be, of course, no grand bit of new news for you. You should know, due to a lot of the executive orders back in the late 70s that established FEMA, also established the post office essentially as the reorganization outlet. The way they're going to tell you where and what work camp you should report to in the event of martial law. In an era of heightened security theater, foreign diplomats and the TSA share a bumpy relationship. That's from the Washington Post. Again, from the District of Criminals, this time WUSA9.com, passengers and US ACLU critique random bag checks that we have already reported to you have been going on and have started at the Metro in D.C. Meanwhile, in Peoria, they are pursuing pharmacy ID checks. And it's interesting because Peoria is used as that generic term of, oh, will it play in Peoria? Will this go down in Middle America? Will Middle America sit for naked body scans, TSA groping, ID checks, checking for your papers? So imagine your grandfather going to get whatever medication he may need at the pharmacy, but not being able to, so he doesn't have his proper paperwork in order. And I've said it before, but you just think of all the old folks, the people who fought in wars to keep us free and are now, unfortunately, in the twilight of their years, realizing, hey, this all seems like a setup. Government agent Hal Turner gets 33 months in prison, wouldn't you know? A raw story reporting on that, and again, we followed that story for you throughout the year. Hal Turner, provocative, racist, online radio host, started to get really outrageous and call for violence and called for death threats against federal judges. He got arrested for it, went to prison, and wouldn't you know it, he was on the FBI payroll. Hackers hacked into his account and show communications between he and his FBI handler. And again, you'll never hear that in the mainstream media when they report it. Cryptagon reporting on an Associated Press article, nearly one in four students too stupid to pass the U.S. Army entrance exam. And our last note on this, Obamasiah and the Apostles of War posting the Christmas 2010 edition, Fake Terror and the War for Your Mind. That's from the SOTT report, S-O-T-T, Sign of the Times, getting into the Newburgh 4, the Fort Dix 6, the Portland Tree Bomber, and all the other, as we just said, provocateurs events from the intelligence agencies paying, fostering, making these events happen with generally people who could have never have pulled it off on their own. Let's shift now to last week's News Purge, the 1223 News Purge. Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight, and that is the Ramones, and that video is embedded for you on this posting. But let's blast through all the updates. 9/11 updates, deal reached on aid package for 9/11 first responders, and Jesse Ventura hammering the official Pentagon 9/11 story on the latest episode of Conspiracy Theory. That one's from Op-Ed News, and the deal reached on the aid package for 9/11 first responders is from the Associated Press. And those are a couple of 9/11 updates for you. BioWars and EnviroHealth, anti-smoking drug Chantix, blamed in suicides and was poorly tested. Surprise, surprise. On the 199th anniversary of the New Madrid quake, out of this coming from the DallasSouthBlog.com, FEMA urges the public to be prepared. And from GreenChipStocks.com, the great honeybee conspiracy. On to geopolitics. Thanks to the Seattle Mideast Awareness Campaign, with a link for you, Israeli war crimes, your tax dollars at work. Those signs have already begun showing up on Seattle Metro buses. Amazing. And another note on the mysterious death of MI6 spy Gareth Williams. The keys were found under his body, inside the duffel bag he was in, and of course all the experts have said there's no way he could have done that himself. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a, ooh, it's a sex game gone wrong. He was a spy. He was murdered. An amazing article from David Kaczynski, the Unabomber's brother, part one of Ted and the CIA. Let's do it. Let's hit that link just for the provocative first paragraph. Was my brother Ted Kaczynski, a.k.a. the Unabomber, a sort of Manchurian candidate programmed to kill by our government in a CIA-funded thought control experiment gone awry? I hope you'll excuse this provocative question, especially since I don't know the answer to it. Ted and the CIA, Part 1, written from the Unabomber's brother, David Kaczynski. And going even further back into history mystery, John Wilkes Booth's relatives hope DNA will settle the grave mystery. More on that from Boston.com. And our holy hexes, good Lord, Saddam Hussein had a Quran written in his blood. He also thought he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And interestingly enough, Pat Robertson, religious broadcaster, questions harsh pot laws. That, again, is from the Associated Press. And like my man Clyde Lewis says, they're going to give us weed, but they're going to take everything else. On to the media and memes. Fox News graphic, you know, the little graphics and chyrons and all those things, the crawlers and the bugs. They labeled a Holocaust survivor and Nobel Prize winner as a Holocaust winner. More fine work from Faux News. And an interesting one, another interesting discovery from Cablegate, and I immediately sent this to my man Freeman of Freeman TV. Anna Nicole wreaked havoc in Bahamas, getting into ambassadors having to resign and just all kinds of shenanigans that gets into what was possibly some sort of thanks for the memory style mind control scenario. The murder and mayhem, the purse from the Florida school board vendetta shooting, which we reported on for you a couple weeks ago, was sold on eBay for over $13,000. We also had three charged in a high-profile Virginia Highland murder. More on that from Examiner.com. And we'll close out this 1223 News Purge. Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight with our Oregon oddities and West Virginia worry. The Woodburn bank bombers Bruce and Joshua Turnage head to death row. They both got the death penalty for the bank bomb incident. You may recall we reported on for you here on Media Monarchy. Meanwhile, Oregon robbery suspects turn out to be a female duo and say it all started as a joke. Our couple of notes of West Virginia worry. New Senator Joe Manchin, former governor of West Virginia, apologizes for missing the votes on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Dream Amnesty Immigration Act. He said it was because he was already booked for holiday parties, but anybody will tell you that that's just bad politics, that as a brand new senator already under contentious situations, you don't miss important votes at the end of the year. You're just going to look bad. And the other note of West Virginia worry from Slashdot, West Virginia judge ends a massive porn lawsuit, and we'll leave it to you to go check out more on that. As we'll jump to our final posting here, and it's going to be just about our final posting on MediaMonarchy.com, not counting, of course, this very episode you're watching right now. The end of 2010 and the Up All Night news purge. We'll get to the Up All Night in just a few moments, but we're going to start this with 10 New Year's resolutions or resolutions for nonviolent rebellion. This coming from the excellent activistpost.com. And just quickly, my friends, number one, buy local food. Number two, become more self-sufficient. Number three, get healthier. Number four, buy silver and gold. Number five, expose the agenda. Number six, boycott, boycott, boycott. Number seven, local politics. Number eight, military refusal, which we could maybe file under boycott. Number nine, don't use banks. And number 10, tax resistance. 10 New Year's resolutions for nonviolent rebellion, my friends. Going along right with that from blacklistednews.com, top 10 survival PDFs you should download. And I did, and you should as well, because even Ashton Kutcher in Men's Journal, Men's Fitness rather, gets into becoming a prepper, prepping for Armageddon. And if this isn't a bad portent, Geraldine Hoff Doyle has passed away. She was the inspiration for the iconic We Can Do It poster, World War II era propaganda. Nickelodeon's Illuminati-themed show House of Anubis hits America. Ohio woman says markings in pistachio looks like Jesus' face. And the Pentagon's Christmas present to us all, the largest military budget since World War II. Kurt Haskell, the underwear bomber witness, writes a piece on Christmas Day 1 year later. The New York Times claims global warming creates record cold weather. Meanwhile, Daily Star reporting that this winter may be the coldest in 1,000 years. ClimateGate TV covering the mocked meteorologist getting the last laugh. Afghan war to escalate in 2011. That's from HindustanTimes.com. U.S. government can't account for billions spent in Afghanistan, but we'll keep going and going and going. Cindy Sheehan writing on her website, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, changes Don't Ask, Don't Tell to Don't Go, Don't Kill. Meanwhile, around the world, North Korea declares a sacred war And Cablegate shows the DEA's global reach. That is an important article from the New York Times showing what the Drug Enforcement Administration has turned into. And again, getting back to our drugs, Wall Street, wars connection. Other documents detail the CIA's Cold War hypnosis push. Of course, that comes from Danger Room. Swiss judge seeks atomic secrets trial for CIA moles, again from the New York Times. Pope's child porn normal claim sparks outrage among victims. That's from the Belfast Telegraph. Researchers claim ancient human remains found in Israel. Meanwhile, Iran hangs a Mossad spy. And then we get into the paranoia threataganda in time for the holidays from NationalTerrorAlert.com. Thermoses could be used as bombs. Meanwhile, cargo that flies over the U.S. doesn't get screened to federal standards. That's from the Washington Post. From the Sacramento Bee, a pilot who posted a video of airport security calls his critics naive. Meanwhile, obscene, threatening comments posted on an anti-TSA website traced back to, wouldn't you know it, Department of Homeland Security. Meanwhile, Congresswoman warning U.S. homegrown terrorists a global threat, and former CIA Director Hayden warning of the homegrown terror threat. So look to see the homegrown paranoia only grow and grow in 2011. Meanwhile, from tc.indymedia.org, documents prove Iowa FBI created terrorism enterprise for great statistical accomplishment. Meanwhile, one tip is now enough to put your name in the database, officials say. More on that from the Washington Post. EconomicPolicyJournal.com noting ex-CNBC reporter was warned by the CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, that if you keep doing these stories called market-moving stories, meaning stories that would make any reasonable investor make a decision about buying or selling, you are going to get your brains blown out. Meanwhile, trading places, just in time for the holidays, Obama considers another Bilderberger, this time Altman, to replace the previous CFR Bilderberger, Larry Summers. And the birther meme grows. Hawaii's governor wants to reveal Obama birth info. That's from the Associated Press. Meanwhile, Chris Matthews wants Obama to produce his birth certificate. That is on video for you to watch. We also want to note, of course, that the birther story originated with the Democrats. It was just misdirected, as so many other things are, in the political shell game to make it look like it was a fringe right-wing thing. And you saw people like Orly Tates get out there, and you knew it was done for. But we'll see what the new year brings. Where the 200,000-plus crowd lives, hint, it's not West Virginia. West Virginia being the 50th on the list of where people that make over $200,000 live. And our last note, we were going to play a clip, but we've run out of time, my friends. Portland hears about regime change from the fantastic 9/11 Truth Alliance, going there, talking to our leaders in person. And there's no other way to wrap it up, so we'll do it quickly, my friends. Thank you so much for making this an amazing year for MediaMonarchy.com. Your support will help keep this going. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, in this new year, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
We deserve that dream collapsing. I'm just one man, so damn angry. Through confusion. your fall, out your face. Say hi, horseman, high stakes. High again, well how about that? Well how the fuck else can I react? I see you all regardless. I know what lies are like. I might have been born yesterday, sir, but I stayed up all night. I see you all regardless. I know this time's a fight. Might have been born yesterday, friend. We stayed up all night. Hell, you're too preachy. You don't reach me. Right and wrong's hard. You say easy. Look, they made me. I was normal. On some rap shit. Up rock back spin. On collapsing. Back to windmill. Innocent thrill. So old fashioned. World deranged. I'm no different. I wish my home still existed. Run the blade. Lifespan program. Final digits. You're my daddy. You'll protect me. I need guidance to live correctly. I can't fight you. Feed me either. I'm your servant. You're the teacher. I'm so sorry, that's the implant talking for me. I see you all regardless. I know what lies are like. I might have been born yesterday, sir, but I stayed up all night. I see you all regardless. I know this time's a fight. We might have been born yesterday, friend. We stayed up all night. Right.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
So it's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.